ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय You're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 2, Chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations. We're reading today from text number 8.
Veda sapatni udita patribiranti ragyo. Balo pisanupagatastapasevanani. Tasmahada druvagatim grinati prasano. Divyastuvanti munayo yadupari adastad.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Being insulted by the sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest, and the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Purport. When he was only 5 years old, Prince Dhruva, a great devotee and the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, was sitting on the lap of his father. His stepmother did not like the king's patting her stepson, so she dragged him out, saying that he could not claim to sit on the lap of the king because he was not born out of her womb. The little boy felt insulted by this act of his stepmother. Nor did his father make any protest, for he was too attached to his second wife. After this incident, Prince Dhruva went to his own mother and complained. His real mother also could not take any step against this insulting behavior, and so she wept. The boy inquired from his mother how he could sit on the royal throne of his father, and the poor queen replied that only the Lord could help him. The boy inquired where the Lord could be seen, and the queen replied that it is said that the Lord is sometimes seen by great sages in a dense forest. The child prince decided to go into the forest to perform severe penances in order to achieve his objective. Prince Dhruva performed a stringent type of penance under the instruction of his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, who was specifically deputed for this purpose by the personality of Godhead. Prince Dhruva was initiated by Narada into chanting the hymn composed of 18 letters, namely, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Lord Vasudev incarnated himself as Prishnigarbha, the personality of Godhead with four hands, and awarded the prince a specific planet above the seven stars. Prince Dhruva, after achieving success in his undertakings, saw the Lord face to face, and he was satisfied that all his needs were fulfilled. The planet awarded to Prince Dhruva Maharaj is a fixed Vaikuntha planet installed in a material atmosphere by the will of the Supreme Lord, Vasudev. This planet, although within the material world, will not be annihilated at the time of devastation, but will remain fixed in its place. And because it is a Vaikuntha planet, never to be annihilated, it is worshipped even by the denizens of the seven stars situated below the Dhruva planet, as well as by the planets which are even above the Dhruva planet. Maharishi Bhrigu's planet is situated above the Dhruva planet. So the Lord incarnated himself as Prishnigarbha, just to satisfy a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prince Dhruva achieved this perfection simply by chanting the hymn mentioned above after being initiated by another pure devotee, Narada. A serious personality can thus achieve the highest perfection of meeting the Lord and attain his objective simply by being guided by a pure devotee who automatically approaches by dint of one's serious determination to meet the Lord by all means. The description of Prince Dhruva's activities can be read in detail in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Being insulted by sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, King Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest. And the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshuramilitam Jyanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakaupataru Bhyacha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's interesting here, while describing the scheduled incarnations, Lord Brahma is mentioning in relation to his devotee, Prishnigarbha. The all verse and the purport is just mentioning about Dhruva Maharaj, and only a small description is there about Prishnigarbha. So, as the devotees are glorified, the Lord is also glorified, and the Lord takes more pleasure to see his devotees glorified. And in his instance, Dhruva Maharaj is more glorified than the incarnation of Prishnigarbha. It's a very beautiful story. I think all of us, we have read this story of Dhruva Maharaj, and everybody likes this story. Zachary said that this story instills faith in the heart of the devotees to see how the Lord is so merciful, and in such a quick way, in such a fast way, he satisfied the desires of Dhruva Maharaj much more than it was his expectations. So he says, shows much of how the Lord is so kind to those who want to approach him. So he was the son of Uttanapad. Uttanapad is one of the children of Svayambhuva Manu. One of our Manus, important Manus. And Svayambhuva Manu was the father of Uttanapada, and as the other was Priyavrata. Priyavrata was his brother. So Uttanapada is glorified here because of his son, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is the important personality in this description. So Dhruva Maharaj was the second son of Uttanapada, and the other son was born from the first wife, Suruchi was the mother of Uttama, the first wife, and the favorite wife of King Uttanapad. And Suniti was the mother of Dhruva, was not so favorite. So Dhruva Maharaj, as King Uttanapada was petting his son Uttama, Dhruva Maharaj naturally also, as a small boy, 5 years old, he wanted to sit on the lap of his father, but his stepmother prevented him from doing so in a very, very harsh way, by actually insulting him, considering him unfit. Even though he was born from a bona fide wife of the king, he considered him practically born from a non-qualified wife of the king. So he actually insulted Dhruva and his mother by disqualifying her to give birth to a boy who would be qualified to sit on the lap of the king. So she actually used very harsh words, very offensive words to Dhruva Maharaj, and to the point of his saying that if you really want to be qualified, you have to perform penances obtain the favor of the Lord, then you can take birth in my womb. First, you have to get the mercy of the Lord. Means already to take birth in my womb, we have to have a very, very special favored by the Lord. And then by taking birth in my womb, you may have the opportunity then to sit on the lap of the king. That was really heavy for Dhruva Maharaj. He was only 5 years old boy, but he had already this kshatriya bhava. Now they call it the genes. Already this kshatriya nature. So he became inflamed. He became really angry. That's a kshatriya. He cannot be insulted, you know. So it was a wrong move on a part of Queen Suruchi, because Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was 5 years old, he was going to take revenge. He wanted revenge. He wanted to do something to counteract her attitude, her offensive attitude. So he approached his mother for help. But mother was helpless. She was not favored by the king. She was kind of not very much liked. So she actually agreed to Suruchi's words, saying, "Actually, she's right. You, in order to be qualified, probably you have to take birth from her womb, because I am not a qualified queen of the king. So I cannot help you. Probably you have to. The best thing is to follow the advice of Suruchi and just go to the forest and get the favor of Lord Vishnu." And he took seriously. He took seriously Dhruva Maharaj, so seriously that he really went to the forest, the dense forest, which is, I mean, for a young child to do is really to be very bold, alone, into the forest. You know, even us as big grown-ups, we will not venture in such a thing, but he was not afraid, because he was fixed in his determination. He was so angry about what happened to him and his mother that he really wanted to achieve what he wanted. He wanted to have a kingdom even bigger than the kingdom of his father. He was the emperor of the whole planet, Uttanapad. He wanted to have something even bigger than his father, to show not only his stepmother Suruchi, but to show also his father, because his father was complice in this offense, because it was in his presence that Dhruva Maharaj was offended by his stepmother. So he was also responsible. So he wanted to have something even bigger to his something bigger than what his father had, in order to show, you know, to show his revenge. So he was really determined. And the determination of Dhruva Maharaj is something that we can be inspired to be that determined. So determined that he was sitting only in one leg with his arms upwards, and he was sitting there for a long, long time. At one time he was eating fruits from the forest and roots, and ended by eating only the leaves that would fall from the trees, and then even that he forsake that, and he was just doing his pranayam. He's just, you know, we were talking yesterday about people who can maintain their lives just by breathing. And Dhruva Maharaj was maintaining his body just by controlling the air intake. You know, controlling the circulation of the internal airs. So he maintained his life like that, and it was so austere that it was creating disturbance in the higher planetary, even in the higher planetary systems, because of his austerities. He said the universe was shaking, you know, powerful. A young boy, very pure, very innocent, so determined to perform austerities to please the Lord. The Lord was so pleased that he deputed immediately one of his best preachers, best devotees, Narada Muni, to deal with with Dhruva Maharaj, to help him. So it was nice that the Lord understood the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and they sent him a Vaishnava, a devotee, and to help him. And Narada Muni pacified Dhruva Maharaj and said, yes. He asked him why he was doing such severe austerities. And he said, he thought that Narada Muni was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thought he was Lord Vishnu. I said, no, I am not Lord Vishnu. I said, but I want to see Lord Vishnu. I want to have his darshan. I want to ask him something. I have a very important request. So Narada Muni said, well, the way to achieve the mercy, the darshan of Lord Vishnu is to chant a prayer, and you know, to appeal for his coming and call him by this prayer. And he gave him this very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he told him to chant constantly this mantra. You know the meaning? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know the meaning of this verse? Yeah, it's offering obeisance to the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna. It's very interesting because it's the very first prayer, the first mantra that is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And immediately the writer, Vyasadeva, who is a compiler. The first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam were actually prayers of Vyasadeva himself. Then he's just narrating, you know, different dialogues and different prayers from other different personalities. But these three first verses are the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, written, spoken by Vyasadeva himself. So from the very, very first verse, he indicated that Srimad Bhagavatam was going to be about Krishna by indicating Vasudevaya. You know, Om Namo Bhagavate. Yes, render our obeisance, you know, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavate. But Vasudevaya, who appear as the son of Vasudev. So it's very interesting. And that's the verse that Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, yes, he did really like that. And in 6 months of sadhana, very strict sadhana, constantly chanting this mantra, in 6 months, he had the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was an achievement. 6 months. We may take 6 years, 60 years, 6 lifetimes, I don't know how long we're going to take. But it took him only 6 months, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his beautiful form, forearms, you know, appear, and he touched Dhruva Maharaj, I think, with a conch or the flower, I don't know, I think with a conch, to pacify him, and he asked him for any blessing he wanted. So at that time, because of being chanting this mantra, you know, invoking the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj's heart became very purified. So purified that all his desires of having such a big kingdom, even bigger than the one of his father, went away from his heart, was cleaned from his heart. His heart became totally pure. It's normal. In order to see the Supreme Lord, the heart has to be totally pure. Otherwise, the Lord will not appear. So his heart was free from any material desires. But still, the Lord asked him, what you wish, you can ask. I give you the mercy. And the same thing happened with Prahlad Maharaj when he gave him darshan after killing Hiranyakashipu and all those demons. Also, Narasimha Maharaj asked Prahlad Maharaj what blessing he wanted. And Prahlad Maharaj said, well, what kind of servant is that, you know, wants to be rewarded by the master? You know, the reward the master gives to the servant is service. That's the reward. So why should I ask you for any reward? But Lord Narasimha insisted, no, you should ask, because everybody asks a blessing when I come, so you please, you take a blessing. So Prahlada Maharaj still refused, but Narasimha Maharaj insisted again, no, whatever you like. So he has a very beautiful request. I don't know if any one of you remember what was Prahlad Maharaj's request. Very beautiful prayer. You remember? You say it. You don't remember. Anyone you remember? Yeah, it was. That was the first one. Yeah, the first one. Let my father be liberated, and Nrisimhadeva said, "This is already done, automatically by your devotion. Your ancestors, 10 generations before, 10 generations after, they are all liberated. But you, for you, something for you." But he asked very something very wonderful that we should all ask the Lord.
May there be no material desire.
Yes, please, my dear Lord, if you really want to bless me, make in such a way that in my heart will be no more material desires. That should be our prayer to the Lord. No more material desires. So, and Dhruva Maharaj, just because of his devotion to the Lord by chanting his mantra, now having the darshan of the Lord, his heart was totally free from material desires. Still, the Lord asked him, you can ask for any blessing. So he didn't want, he said, my dear Lord, I thought I was looking after diamonds. But then I found out it's just broken glass. You know, by seeing you, what I was looking for is just broken glass. The other way. I was looking for broken glass, but by seeing you, I have received the highest jewel, the most precious jewel. So why do I need any material blessing? But still the Lord gave him a blessing because he had that desire to have a kingdom superior to his father's kingdom. So he gave him the most important place in this material universe. This is Dhruvaloka. Dhruvaloka is?
Polestar.
Polestar. Polestar is the center of the universe. Don't tell the scientists, but all the planets, all the stars, they are rotating around Dhruvaloka, Polestar. That's why it's the only fixed star in the universe. It's the only fixed star in the universe. Doesn't move. That's why the navigators, they still use as a reference the pole star, because it does move. It's fixed, so they know they cannot miss direction if they take reference to the pole star. So all the universes rotate around the pole star, and the planet Earth is just above. So all the planets, all the things are rotating around the Earth. That was the original concept of, what you call this? Heliocentric. And then they change into the solar, and everything rotating around the sun. But actually, the very concept of astronomy is that everything is rotating around the Earth, because the Earth is just above the pole star. So all the different planets are rotating around the pole star. And the pole star, it's a Vaikuntha planet, as Srila Prabhupada also mentions here. It will never be destroyed. All the universes will be destroyed, will be resorbed in the body of Mahavishnu. The pole star will remain. So it's really a far out blessing that Dhruva Maharaj got, a planet that is never destroyed, where everybody has eternal life. They're not arsed by birth and death, old age and disease. It's a Vaikuntha planet. That's the place where is Svetadvipa, the ocean of milk, where is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu laying down, is the presiding deity of Dhruvaloka. It's a very, very special planet. See, this is a result of his devotion. 6 months of practice of sadhana, he got the topmost planet in this universe, and was as always the darshan of Lord Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And it's also interesting in this story, that after Dhruva Maharaj, still before he got Dhruva Loka, he was given opportunity to, I think, was stay for 70,000 years as a king of this planet. Uttanapada, after he passed away, Uttamai became the king because he was the elder brother. But Uttama, once he went to conquer the Yakshas, and while fighting with them, he was killed. So Dhruva Maharaj became the successor. He became the king of this planet for, I think, 40,000 or 70,000 years, a big number. And when Uttama was killed by the Yakshas and the news came to the palace, Suruchi's mother became very grieved, and she wanted to go and find the son. And she went into the Yaksha kingdom, and it is explained that she perished in a forest fire, and she died. And Srila Prabhupada is very interesting. Take note of this. Srila Prabhupada, I don't remember exactly if it's in the purport of that description or in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Suruchi perished in a forest fire because of offenses to a person who would become a pure devotee of the Lord. It's very, 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 very deep, this statement. Shows, you know, that where we mention the Vaishnava aparads, you know, the offenses against the devotees, and how you have to be so careful about these offenses, you know, because they destroy our devotion. And we mention devotees, not offended devotees. But here he was not even a devotee, Dhruva Maharaj, when he was offended. But because he was going to become a pure devotee, that offense took form. So it's just to show how careful we have to be, even in dealing with outside people, what you call non-devotees. Because you never know, as somebody shows up, who is going to be in a few weeks, in a few months, or a few years. We don't know. Any person we meet in the street, we don't know. We were in the street. And somehow we became attracted to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of devotees. So we don't know how people, you know, by the mercy of the devotee, mercy of Krishna, one day become awakened and become devotees. So we have to be very careful how to treat others, how to deal with others, particularly people from other religious affiliations. We should be very, very careful in dealing with them. Always have a very respectful attitude, because somehow or other they are devotees of the Lord in a particular form, in a particular way. They are devoted to the Lord. The fact that they accept that He is a Supreme Lord, and they worship Him, they offer praise to Him, even though for material purposes, it's already a great achievement. So you should be very, very respectful. We may point out mistakes in the behavior of people, in their philosophies, in their ways of speaking, but we should not hate people. We should not be against people. We should not offend them. We should not mistreat them or disrespect them. We are against the sin, not the sinner. So we may point out and we say, "Oh, this karmic behavior, or mlesha behavior, demonic behavior." Okay, behavior, but the person himself is ultimately a potential devotee. Is a spiritual soul, eternal servant of Krishna. So it's just a question of time. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtana movement, you know, so many people are going to be delivered. So one day you're going to have all these people that now we consider as non-devotees or rascals or demons, atheists, whatever we may call. But one day they become devotees, and then so we have to be very careful, to be always very respectful towards others. Very important. So here Suruchi made a very stupid mistake by offending Dhruva Maharaj, thinking it was a little thing. He was just dealing with a small child, but it was a very, very big mistake. First, he didn't consider that Dhruva Maharaj had a very strong nature, you know, kshatriya nature, and he would do such a step, would follow, actually. He followed her advice. He actually acted, even though she offended him, but she acted as a, what do you call this, Guru Pradakshina? Guru Pradakshina, Vartma Pradakshina. Yeah. He indicated the way to him. It was one of his gurus. Indicated him the way to go to the forest and appeal to the Lord's mercy. And because of that, he got the mercy of a pure Vaishnava. But because she committed that offense in the beginning, she had to perish in a forest fire. So let's be attentive, be careful, not mistreat anyone, be always respectful to every living entity. Because all living entities are creatures of the Lord, they are children of the Lord, and moreover, the super soul is in the heart of every living entity, and should, side by side, you should always offer respects to the super soul, Krishna, in the heart of every living entity. So it's one of the things we can also learn from this story of Dhruva Maharaj. So there any questions or comments? This was just descriptions.
When you see an example of someone who's very friendly with everybody, they're able to attract people to Krishna consciousness, whereas we may try to insulate ourselves from karma association and shun that kind of association. But it's described in the scriptures as an immature, immature devotional service, because a mature devotee, although he respects the deity and makes friends with the devotees, is able to see the super soul in the heart of everyone. He doesn't just see Krishna in the temple. Mm. So it's obviously a wonderful art. And we have to cultivate and learn by associating with people who can attract people to Krishna consciousness by their nice dealings, friendly dealings.
To show mercy to the... Most of the people are actually innocent, in a category of innocent. They may behave sometimes in a very bad way, a demonic way or whatever, but it's just because of bad association. Demons, really bad, mean people, are not so many. Most people are just bad because of their association, so are innocent, in an innocent category. So, if you know how to develop friendships, how to be kind, respectful with them, it's a nice way to get people attracted. As I see here, when you move around, you see so many people are very respectful to the devotees. It means that the devotees had a very nice attitude towards them, and then the result is that people offer respects, they compliment you and they give you a smile. It's very nice. It's a good symptom. Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, just walking around the place, getting on the bus, Hare Krishna.
Yes, so nice.
You wonder who's the devotee around this town in Melbourne.
So this, we are making devotees even unconsciously. Just by saying Hare Krishna to them and letting them say Hare Krishna, they are beginning their devotional life. Haridas Thakur, and he was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? And he said, Vaishnava is a person who utters the holy name of the Lord once. So anyone who utters the holy name of the Lord, he already began his devotional service. How long is it going to take until he surrenders? We don't know. Can be faster than we. We are just doing everything, or trying to do everything nice. They can be even faster. But look at Dhruva Maharaj. In 6 months, he made it. Yeah, we should be always very respectful to people. And that's the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to deliver all the conditioned souls. It's not just a few ones, a few chosen ones. It's for everyone. So how long is it going to take? Sankirtana movement, it goes for 9,500 years more, so we still have a long time. So try to save as many people as possible. So the first thing comes by showing sympathy, friendship to others is the first thing, and from that, so many things can happen. Yeah.
Mahaprabhu Lord Vasudeva the most. He said, "In my heart, Vasudeva, because he wanted to everybody to go to the spiritual world.
Yeah, he wanted to take the sinful reactions of all living entity, all living entity, and let them go back to the spiritual world. So he was so compassionate towards them. Srila Prabhupada said, Vasudeva Datta was even more compassionate than Jesus Christ. Yes, Mataji. How to develop that compassion mood. First, we have to understand how we are a product of compassion of the Vaishnavas, how we became devotees because the devotees were compassionate towards us and he gave us the opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. And I believe you, as many others, you know, all of us, we came to Krishna consciousness because we came in touch with the devotee. So if the devotees were so merciful to us, you know, so compassionate to us, and if you reflect upon that, then they say, why should I not also be compassionate and merciful to other people, even though I may not have much devotion, I may not be so surrendered to Krishna, but still, I can do something to make people attracted to Krishna consciousness. I can try at least, smile, give them some prasadam, you know, compliment, salute them, you know, invite them, send them, give them an invitation. So many things we can do to bring people close to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, preaching means to bring people close to Krishna. So whatever it takes, even if it's really small steps, everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. Even if it's just a smile, just be friends with people. It's such a wonderful thing. And you don't know what will be the result of such a simple gesture, simple thing. So yes, contemplate, meditate on how much mercy you receive yourself, how much merciful your devotees were towards you and still are towards you, your Guru Maharaj, and the Lord is so merciful to you. So the more you realize how you are actually a product of devotees and the Lord's mercy, then say, why I should also try to give this to others? You know, they also can be recipients. As I was, others also can become the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And by trying in small steps, in small ways, you know, you develop more and more attachment to do it, and you feel the satisfaction of bringing somebody close. You know, when you start, you know, one day you notice that some people you contacted come to the temple, and then gradually they become attracted and they start chanting, and you feel so satisfied, much more satisfied than having a baby, you know. So please, you know, see that somebody, you know, that you start cultivating, and eventually you become attracted to Krishna. It's such a wonderful experience. So yeah, always meditate. Remember that we are here is because of the mercy of the devotees, because of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's not because of our own achievements. Or you are born, even if you are born in a Vaishnava family, it's not our achievement, it's Krishna's mercy, the devotee's mercy. We are products of Krishna's and devotee's mercy. Mercy cases. They say there's different reasons, there are three reasons why we take to the process of devotional service, is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One reason is because we already practiced devotional service in previous life, then Krishna gives us opportunity to continue in this lifetime until we achieve perfection. This was one reason. Another reason is because we had no qualification at all, we did nothing good in the past, but by the mercy of a devotee, you know, who gave us some prasada, or we met in Harinam, or somehow or other, by the mercy of a devotee, we came in contact with Krishna consciousness, and he became attracted, and we eventually start practicing. And another reason is a combination of both. Something was done in the past, but there was the mercy of a devotee in this life, and then combined together made us become attracted to Krishna consciousness again? Srila Prabhupada mentions, we don't know. We don't know our past, so take it that we had no qualification. It was only by the mercy of a Vaishnava that we came to Krishna consciousness. It's a very simple way. So, and if you reflect upon that, you meditate upon that, then you say, then yes, we realize how great is the compassion of Krishna and the devotees. How wonderful. So why should I not try to give that same mercy in ways I can do, you know, to other people? So we try. We try. So every time you go out, you know, to do some shopping or something, bring some invitation cards with you. Carry always in your purse some invitation cards. I'm not saying bring also prasada, you know. Could also do that, but at least some invitation cards, either to come here to the temple or to our restaurants, you know, our centers. And if people smile to you, you just give them an invitation. It can be the beginning. Can be the beginning. But smile. Always smile to people. I notice here people are very they respond to your to our smiles. You know, people are always worried about something and anxiety about something, and you see sometimes they frown, you know, they have their faces and because they have to work all day long and they go to work. But if they look at you, and if you smile to them, oftentimes I notice they smile back to you, and that's good. That's a nice beginning. They smile to a devotee. Able. So keep smiling and bring some invitation, give to people. They say Hari Bol, yes. Good morning, Hari Bol. Good morning, Hare Krishna. You can say, instead just say good morning or Hare Krishna, which they may not understand, say good morning, Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Yesterday? Even Prabhupada, see, Prabhupada calling them karmis, it's not a, it's a very, is praising them, because karmis means religious people, pious people. Most of the people are not karmis, mleshas and yavanas, you know, like you were, you know, very low class, you know, because of their habits, their attitudes, you know. So karmis are, it's already a very elevated denomination. So it's Prabhupada had respect for them. Okay, they are materialistic, but they are pious. They will consider them pious, so he elevated their status. He didn't put them down. One time, what Prabhupada was explaining about, you know, there are three types of devotees. There first-class devotees, second-class devotees, third-class devotees. Give an elaborate explanation about that. And in the end, somebody asked the question to Prabhupada, so a newcomer, what about you? What class? In what category are you? And Prabhupada said, I'm in fourth class. I'm in fourth class trying to serve the other three classes. Yeah, we should always remain humble, you know, whatever you understand from our philosophy, whatever we have acquired from our practices, it's all given by the Lord and the devotees. It's not ours. So we should never be proud of whatever knowledge we have. We should understand that this is Krishna given, so we should also give to others. And if you do in that mentality, people are more receptive. They can see that we don't think that we are superior because we have this knowledge. We just have that knowledge by Krishna's arrangement. It's Krishna's knowledge. So when we impart this knowledge to others in that mentality, then people are much more receptive. They can see that we are not proud. And they can value the level of this knowledge. Yes, Master. Exactly. Yeah, Kali Yuga, nobody is qualified. It's an age that exists to give opportunity to those who have no qualification to take birth. The most fallen people to take birth. So we are a product of Kali Yuga. Don't be don't be disappointed, but we are all disqualified. So whatever we get is by the mercy of the devotees and Krishna. So yes, share with others, give to others. As we got it, give it the same way, give to others. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.